Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Jules, let's pray. God, we just thank you for your word tonight. And Lord, as we've been singing, we thank you for your spirit, for your Holy Spirit. And I pray that tonight you would recall some things, that you would empower us by your spirit. And we just thank you for the gifts of your spirit. And as we work our way through this, we just I just pray that people would be empowered by your spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you remember a few weeks ago I did a message about loving our neighbour. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. Well, this is kind of the next stage, and it fits a little bit in with what Graham was sharing about this morning, about faith without works is dead. And to love others, we need to be empowered to do that. And we can do it in our own strength, or we can do it in God's strength and in his power. And so a few weeks ago, I started to ask a few questions about the Holy Spirit and about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and were they active in our church. And I don't mean necessarily in this church, although that was part of the question, but in the church in general. And it was interesting, some of the responses that I had to those, and you know, they were varying to yes, the Holy Spirit's very active. No, the Holy Spirit's not very active. And so it was very interesting. And so it led me to just do a little bit of investigating. And I really had the sense that I needed to go down the path of checking a few things out and rereading some things that I'd read in the past. And so it came to the point where I felt I need to speak about this. And as we've been talking about foundations, this is extremely foundational in our walk with Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, we walk without power. Remember, Jesus did not do one miracle until he was baptized and the dove came down as a representation of the Holy Spirit. There was no miracles, there was no signs and wonders until he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us. And so I just, this afternoon, as I was reading over this, God started to mess around with the message, and the Holy Spirit started to mess around with the message. So I've had to reorder things and throw things out and put things in. And so this is a good thing. And so tonight I pray that it would rekindle some things in people. But people would go out knowing that the power of God is with them in their walk and in their life. And so let's just track through that a little bit. And if I go back a step, I grew up in a Methodist church. My dad was a minister in a Methodist church. And when I was about 4 or 5, before I really had recognised what was going on, my dad had a very powerful spiritual experience. And so me growing up and in the church, I was in a midst, and I didn't have total understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit at work. And I was reading, and I hadn't even prepared to say this, but I was reading a news article from a Sunshine newspaper. That's where we were, Sunshine newspaper, out where the other half live, out the other side. And it was an article about how my dad had taken a few of the young people from the church up to a mountainside, and the power of God had come down on these group of young people. And all sorts of stuff was going on, and you know, word got around, as it does when the Holy Spirit is at work. And there was confusion wouldn't be the word, but because there hadn't been much activity in terms of the Holy Spirit, many people were asking a lot of questions about what was going on. Were they weird? Were they crazy? And what was happening? And so that was one experience, but there's other, you know, experiences with exorcisms and that sort of stuff. And so I grew up in this situation where, you know, we moved from Sunshine to Moonee Ponds, and we really saw the power of God at work in our church, and we saw the evidence of the Holy Spirit through different things, but things like speaking in tongues and interpretation. We saw miracles, we saw signs and wonders, and it was, you know, prophetic words, and there was all sorts of things happening, and it was an amazing thing to be a part of. But it kind of just, you know, it just was, you know, something that happened week to week, and you thought nothing more of it, really. As much as it was amazing to see, it just became part of what happened. And so there's been much discussion in the church over the Holy Spirit and whether the Holy Spirit is relevant today. And there are some parts of the body of Christ who believe that, you know, the gifts of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit has ceased, which I don't personally believe, but there are some that believe that. Some believe that that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't have the Holy Spirit. And these are some of the far reaches of, you know, what people believe. Some people have the Holy Spirit, some don't. Some believe the Holy Spirit, and some believe the gifts for today, and some for not. So when I asked this question, it was interesting, the responses that I had. And as I was preparing today, I thought there's four things that are relevant for people in and to do with the Holy Spirit. And the first is what people have heard. The second is what people have seen. The third is what people have read. And the fourth is what people have experienced. And they can overlap and they can interchange. And, you know, from what people have heard, it can be, oh, you know, I've heard that at this church service there was all this weird stuff going on. And so they put this one and one makes two and go, oh, well, the Holy Spirit is weird. And when we're on camp, Dave Reardon spoke about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and talked about the weird of the Holy Spirit. And it was really interesting that, you know, he spoke about, you know, be wary of the weird. And sometimes the Holy Spirit and the gifts do come across and can come across as weird. You know, in terms of what people have seen, they've been in church and they've seen something happen. And so they make an assumption, or they add up and they go, okay, well, I've seen this, so the Holy Spirit's not for me. Or they've read something in a book of an opinion of someone, or they've taken one bit of scripture and they've read it and they've gone, well, okay, that's what the Holy Spirit and the gifts are about, so I want that, or I don't want that, or it's what people have experienced. And sometimes when you experience the Holy Spirit in power, and I've seen some lives who have been really touched powerfully by the Holy Spirit, and so they go, well, yeah, I know, I understand the Holy Spirit through their experience. But often it's not just one that matters. It's all those things together: the word, the experience, what they hear, what they see, and all those come together. And the power of God is at work in all those things. Sometimes though, if you pick one of those things, it can give a real negative connotation instead of a positive connotation. So, and whether that's because it's cringe factor, whether because they've had no teaching of it in church, whether because life's too busy, whether because they don't want to give the Holy Spirit even any time, some people just go, well, you know, let's not go any further with this stuff, and let's just live our lives day to day without the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't live the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it. And so if you've put it down, or you don't understand it, or you want to know more, then can I encourage you, let's start now if we need to. Okay. So, if we have a look back, and if we go there's a scripture in John 14:16, which is a very famous scripture, where Jesus said, and this is where he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. And John 14:16 says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, an advocate, an intercessor, a counselor, a strengthener, a standby to be with you forever." And Jesus began to talk about the Holy Spirit with the disciples. And so if we have a look in John 7:37-39, let's just read that together, and that's the New Living Translation. It says, "On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, 'Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scripture declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart.' When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory." And so just hold that thought on that Jesus had not yet entered into his glory, but he was speaking of the Holy Spirit to come. And Acts 1:4-8, as we see once again, this is a very powerful setting, and it says in 4, it says, "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them," this is Jesus speaking, "do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom?" And he replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will," here we go, "but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So he said, you can go and do the works, if you like. You can act on your faith, as Graham talked this morning. You can go and spread the gospel across the earth. But he says, you need the Holy Spirit first before you go that. Jesus has made it very clear. And so Jesus spoke about it. And we see it in the Gospels, and we see it in Acts, and we see it right through much of the New Testament. I find it very hard to believe how people believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. I just find it staggering that you can draw that through all the occasions where Jesus spoke about it. If we go to Acts 2:32-33, if we can go to that next scripture, and so where Jesus, if you go back to, don't go back to it, Cayman, but it says, "But the Spirit had not been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory." And if we go down to Acts 2, after we'd seen tongues of fire come down on the people in Acts, and I'm not going to go into that now, but if we go to Acts 2:32-33, it says, "God raised Jesus from the dead," it says, "and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honour." So he has now been exalted, as it spoke about in John 7. "Highest honour in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour upon us." Please note that. Holy Spirit was poured upon us, just as you see and hear today. So that's what happened. When he was given to highest honour, the Holy Spirit was then poured out. And the Holy Spirit, I believe every Christian has the Holy Spirit. But there's a place in our lives where we can go, "God, give me a new understanding, a greater sense of your Holy Spirit." And so, we can be like, "Don't give me the Holy Spirit," and the Holy Spirit's not going to, not going to force his way. But the plan is that we have the Holy Spirit. So if we go, we'll go down a little bit further and read in 1 Corinthians 12 in a minute, not yet though. So the Bible talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the fellowship speaks of a relationship and an ongoing one that we have with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a person. The Holy Spirit would have the same characteristics as God because he is God, and he's one with the Father, as Jesus is as well. And we see in Revelation, I haven't got the scripture for it, but Jesus speaking in Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And he says that if you open the door, I will come and eat with you. And if he has the same characteristics as God and as Jesus, he is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit wants us to know him, to know his power, but he won't bash the door down. If we ask, and Jesus spoke about it in the New Testament, he said, if we ask, who's a father that won't give good gifts to his children? And so he has given us the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's gifts. So the more we ask, the more we desire those things, the more we will see them in action in our lives. So after all that, I thought I would take a look at the gifts of the Spirit. So I asked a question a couple of weeks ago in our 30-minute breakfast with the men in the morning on Wednesdays, and I asked them what was their favourite gift that they'd seen, a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we went round and we just had a bit of a chat, and some of them, you know, talked about the word of knowledge, some of them talked about the word of prophecy, some talked about the word of wisdom, and some talked about the working of miracles. And it was interesting just to hear the discussion about it. But tonight I don't want to go into too much details of all the gifts. I want to look at Paul, what Paul says in 1 Corinthians regarding the gifts of the Spirit, and a bit of a lead up to when I'm going to go into more detail about the different gifts. So if we can put 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 7, and verse 11, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation if you want to follow that, if you can follow it. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who works the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. In verse 11, it says, "It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have." So I've got six quick things tonight that I want to draw from this passage that might, you know, take away some misconceptions people have or give a bit of a picture about the gifts of the Spirit and how they work and how the power of the Spirit works in our lives. So if we can go to number one, the first one is we're dealing with the supernatural, so it's the supernatural. If we see in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, in the Amplified Version it says, "Now about the spiritual gifts, the special endowments of the supernatural energy, brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed." And so as we read in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said that, he said to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So that power that he spoke about, he wants not just to see in heaven, but on earth. And so I have here, and you've probably seen a similar illustration before, but I have here a screwdriver, which is the natural form of what we see. Now, it's okay to do up a screw with a screwdriver. It's okay to do it, but to do it with a drill with a bit of power behind it makes things a lot quicker. And so it's really interesting that we can do things in the natural. And as Christians, we can do some of the works that God has asked us to do. We can love people in our own strength. But unless the Spirit is with us, behind us, we're going to run out of power. The effort is only going to last for so long. And so we need to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will, you know, we need to find out about the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come upon us in power. It may not, you know, one of the things that I had written there in my notes, which I didn't talk about earlier, you know, some of the misconceptions of the Spirit is, you know, people think the Spirit's around when, you know, people have a lovely feeling or when they fall down or, you know, when the emotions are great. People think, oh, the Holy Spirit's there. And you know what? Sometimes, yes, the Holy Spirit is there in those times. But there doesn't have to be feelings and emotions and falling down for the Holy Spirit to be evident in our lives. God can give us a word for someone where there's no emotion, where there's no feelings, but God just gives us a word and we take it and we bring it to someone and bang, the power of God comes into that situation. Could change a life. We could pray for someone without any emotion or feeling. And it's the super on the natural. That's God's power. And once again, one of the things that I didn't prepare in my notes, but I just wanted to be a bit of a side thing. When the battery comes out, when the power comes out of the drill, there's nothing going on. And sometimes in our lives, and I believe there's people here tonight, that the power's gone off. That you've kind of dropped the ball a bit. You've been relying on your own strength in things and not God's power. And he's saying, don't run away from it. Run to me. The power is only a prayer away. Let me put it back in. Let the power come back in. Don't lose the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's the super on the natural. We can do things in our own strength, but we're going to run out of power. Let the Holy Spirit empower us. He's your friend, he's your helper, he's your counsellor. He wants to be there all the time with you. So if we go to number two, if we go to 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and spiritual gifts. And the reason I put this one in here is some of the people who say that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer for today use the passage in 1 Corinthians 13. And I think that God does things on purpose. 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14 talk about the spiritual gifts. And right in between those passages is 1 Corinthians 13, is probably the most used passage in weddings of all the passages in the Bible. It talks about love. Love is patient, love is kind, and it talks about love. And so some of the people who say things, you know, aren't meant to continue, they're cessationists, I think that's the word they use. Some of those people say, well, in that book it says, where there is prophecy it will cease, but love lasts forever. And so this is straight after 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love. And it says, so after it follows that, and it says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. So that's why it's saying about the love. It says, make it your aim, your great quest. So it's saying, pursue love. Pursue God's love. Pursue those things that it talked about. Love is patient, love is kind. And then it says, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual endowments, the gifts. And so it says to earnestly desire and cultivate. Now, cultivate is an interesting word. Cultivate, when you think of crops and you think of, you know, planting and that sort of stuff, one of the words that came up, and I don't know whether it's for someone here tonight, as I looked in the description for cultivate, was to till the soil. And when you till the soil, you actually break up the soil so it can then take the seed and the plants that can grow in it. And so if you don't till the soil of the for the Holy Spirit to grow and for the gifts to come out, then it's going to be harder for the Holy Spirit to operate in our life. And it says to eagerly desire and cultivate. Now, you might be in a place where, but I don't get it. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't understand the gifts of the Spirit. Well, begin to ask the Holy Spirit to show you how it works and start to desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you know, slowly but surely, I've seen things operate more and more in my life. Not as much as I would like, but I've seen words of knowledge. I've been able to pray for people. I have seen a couple of healing happen, and it's not because of my power, it's because of God's power in the Holy Spirit in and working through me. But if I don't desire that or I don't want that, it's not just going to turn up one day and all of a sudden, if I'm not desiring what the Holy Spirit wants, it's not going to happen. And so it's desiring it and it's cultivating it. And so spend time in prayer. And I know that's hard. We think, oh, we've all got, you know, time. Well, the world will take your time away all day. But if you ask God, if you ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, pursue love and spiritual gifts. And what that says to me is you can pursue love all you like, but it's the spiritual gifts that will give you power to see the love operate in your life for the lives of others. All right? So that's number two. Number three is, and by the way, just going back to cultivate, it's an ongoing process. Till the soil. It's an ongoing process. And sometimes in the soil you're going to get weeds. Pull the weeds out. Sometimes our lives are going to go into a struggle. Deal with it. Continue to cultivate the soil for the Holy Spirit to operate in our life. Number three, don't be ignorant, misunderstand or be misinformed. In two areas. Firstly, these gifts aren't like what we see in the world. And the gifts should bring glory to and drawing people and be drawing people to Jesus. It's interesting, Graham this morning shared about faith. He talked about demonic faith. And as I was sitting, I thought, that's exactly where I was going tonight. You know, one of the things that Graham said this morning is that demons are aware of Jesus' power. They're aware of God's power. There's no issue there. Demons, you know, right through the Bible, the demons don't shy away from knowing about God and his power. They're what did you say? They're not atheists. They're not atheists. They know of God's power. And so remember that Satan is an angel of light. He is a deceiver. And he is a deceiver of the brethren. That's what the Bible says. He deceives the brethren. And so we need to be very aware. And what this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, 1-3, and I've never totally understood it before, it says, now, brothers and sisters, regarding your question about special abilities the Spirit gives us, I do not want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshipping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one is speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now, there's plenty of people out there that, you know, you've only got to go to tarot readings and that sort of stuff. There's plenty of people out there that are working in areas that are very similar to some of the gifts of the Spirit. And the way we tell and we know that the gifts of the Spirit are properly operating is that if they're bringing glory to Jesus and they're drawing people towards God. That is how you tell. And so when it's talking about that, don't be ignorant or misunderstand or be misinformed. Be very aware that when there are gifts operating, that they're bringing glory to God. So that's number three. Okay, number four. It's not all about you. It's to benefit or to profit others. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And the Amplified Version says it this way. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. So the reason the Holy Spirit's gifts we have, it's not for our own benefit. Okay, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. as much as it will benefit us, it is for the benefit of others. And for the most part, it's in the church, but you could have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or, you know, even discerning of spirits in certain situations where God's, you know, God's words come into your mind or in your heart, and they are to profit others, to help them through a situation. So be aware, the gifts of the Spirit are to do God's work, and they're to benefit his body, not just his body, but those who might be, you know, on the edge of, you know, they might be searching for God. And so it is about benefiting others. So it's not just about you. Okay, so number five, the gifts are for all believers. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "And there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them." I don't know whether you've ever thought the gifts can't be for me and they can't operate through me, but if that's what's come into your mind, that's not God talking. He's very clear in his word that the gifts are for not some believers, not certain believers, but all believers. And what we have talked about tonight in cultivating and desiring the gifts is that if we ask God, he's going to bring us gifts. Now, it may not happen just like that, but as we cultivate, you know, in our lives, the power and the work of the Holy Spirit, he will bring us gifts, and there'll be gifts that are to benefit the body as we've done all these things, and to benefit others. Okay, so ask God for the gifts, because they are for all believers. It's not just for some, it's for all. And part of the process is to say, Holy Spirit, I'm saying yes to you. I'm saying yes to you. I know you're a person, and I know you want to work through my life to see your kingdom established here on earth. So they are for all believers. All right, number six. God knows you better than you know yourself. Sorry, beware of the comparison trap. It says, God knows you better than you know yourself, so don't compare the gifts you have. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, all these gifts, achievements, abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit, who apportions, this is the thing that matters, who apportions to each person individually exactly as he chooses. I asked if I could tell this story about Claudia and Sabina. Now, Claudia is my wife and Sabina is her older sister. And one of the things that they used to do as kids is at Christmas time, they used to go searching for their Christmas presents. And so mum and dad thought that they would hide them away nicely for them. And so they would go and find them. And so Sabina being the older sister, they would work together, of course. They'd find the gifts and they'd take them out, and they would, if they were wrapped, they would unwrap them, but they'd try and get them before they were wrapped. And they knew the spots. Mum and Dad never knew that they knew the spots, but they knew the spots where these gifts were. And so, you know, they'd have a box for Claudia's and a box for Sabina's. And so what they'd do is Sabina would convince Claudia to swap the gifts, and she would do everything she could to convince her. And of course, Claudia said today it was, you know, it was about me loving my big sister and thinking she was the best person in the world. And so what Sabina would do is she'd see the gift that she liked and she'd say, you know what, the gift that I've got is so much better. It is so much better than the gift that you're going to get. Why don't you have my gift? And so she would get the gift, Sabina would get the gift that she wanted, and Claudia would just go, yeah, well, I guess you talked me into having this wonderful gift that she probably doesn't want. But it's a bit of a, you know, with the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we compare and we might go, oh, they've got an amazing gift of prophecy on their life. And so we we almost blind ourselves by going, we so much want that, rather than looking to God for what he wants to give us. When we compare and we say, what God's doing through me isn't good enough, it means that you're saying to God, you don't know what you're doing. But God does know what he's doing. That's why he created us in the way he created us. So don't try to manufacture something that is God-breathed. Don't try to manufacture it. Plenty of people have tried to manufacture a spiritual gift because they think it looks good. I believe God can use anyone at any time in any of the gifts. All right? For certain situations, so let me say that again. I believe God can use anyone at any time in any of the gifts. Now, that doesn't mean that they will necessarily always have a certain gift, say, always have words of knowledge, or always have words of prophecy, or always work in miracles, although some can have more of a leaning to a particular gift. So we need to be open at all times to the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be working in our lives. And yet, you know, with the probably with the gifts operating in my life, I probably more operate in words of knowledge, but there are other gifts that I've seen operate in my life. And so it's important that we are open to the Holy Spirit. Now, we may not totally understand the Holy Spirit yet. We may not have a total full understanding of the Holy Spirit, but it's important we go, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts, some of these people that received power and spoke in tongues and went out and healed people, some of them didn't have a great understanding of what was going on. So don't think, oh, look, I've only been a Christian for 2 weeks or for 2 years or whatever. God gives gifts the way he wants to give them, not according to lengths of time or what have you. So it's God giving the gift. Remember, it's a gift. It's not you follow these requirements. God gives you the gifts. So it's really important. So let's just go quickly through those six things. So it's the supernatural. Remember to pursue love and spiritual gifts. Number three, don't be ignorant, misunderstand, or be misinformed. When the spiritual gift is operating in your life, do a bit of a check on it. They're not like they seem in the world, as much as the world can, you know, give a bit of a similar look. The thing to look for is that they're giving glory to God and they're drawing people towards Jesus. That's the things you really want to look for. Number four, it's not all about you. So remember, it's to benefit or profit others. The fifth one is the gifts are for all believers. So if you're sitting here tonight and you don't believe the gifts of the Spirit are for you, I'm sorry, but that is not scriptural. That is not scripture. It's time to believe what God says about what he says in his word, is that all the gifts are available and God gives the gifts who he wants to. So six, beware of the comparison trap. Don't go looking around because it'll probably block your vision a little bit if you're always worried about, well, their gift's better than mine or this gift's better than that gift. Always consider that. So let's just quickly go, and I want to do something to tie off in a minute. Sorry, I've gone a little bit over time. But let's just have a look at the last slide. So here are the spiritual gifts as in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. So this is where I'm going to continue on in my next message. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10 is the revelation gifts or to know gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge and the discernment of spirits. The second lot are the power, so the to-do gifts, the miracles, the working of faith and healings. And the vocal to say gifts, the tongues, interpretation and prophecy. All right, so they're the nine spiritual gifts that are mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10. So can I get everyone to stand to your feet, please? We sang a song tonight and it was the last song that we sang, and I'm just going to bring the word up so I get it right. It says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. And it was quite apt with what I was speaking about tonight, and I didn't talk to the worship team. But tonight, I want people to open their lives up to the Holy Spirit. I want you, if you haven't, or if you've said, no, that's just old stuff, I want you to start to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to work in and through you by the power with his gifts. And I want you to start to believe and to ask God, what gifts have you given me? And so, because it says that they're available to all Christians, okay? And remember, if we saw Jesus operating with people, and when he spoke words of knowledge or wisdom into the lives, it turned lives upside down. And so if we can think, God, I want you to use me to see lives turned upside down for you, see situations changed, and to think of it from the point of view of God, what do you want to use me? How do you want to use me? Start to ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. God, we just thank you for your power. God, we ask together as a church, and Lord, what we see in Scripture, you say that you won't hold back gifts if we ask. And so, Lord, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome right now in the lives of people. And Lord, we just want to open our heart and our lives up for you to operate in greater power in our lives. And so, Father, right now, I pray that you would impart into each and every person here your gifts. If they're operating them in already, I pray that they would see them in greater power. Lord, I pray that if they're not sure what their gift is, I pray that you would show them what that gift is. And Father, we would be able to see lives and situations change through the gifts of your Holy Spirit, that you would increase your power on the lives of people here. And Lord, that they would see the evidence of your Holy Spirit through their day-to-day walk. And Lord, for those who want the gift of tongues, Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would come in power upon them now. And even as they go home in the car or as they go to sleep tonight, they would begin to speak in unknown tongues. And so, Father, we just thank you for your power. And Lord, we want it in our lives. We want to be more effective for you. We want to see this area that we live in change for you. We want to see our homes change. We want to see, you know, our universities change. We want to see our schools changed. And so, Holy Spirit, we know we can't do it without you. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you've done in our lives to this point, but continue to bring increase into our lives. Spirit, lead us where our trust is without borders. Thank you, Lord, for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.